At 6:21, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The Dallas Police Department says two police officers were shot late this afternoon in North Dallas. The officers have been critically wounded. A civilian was also shot, but that person's condition is unknown. The incident happened along 4 Central Drive. That's near the intersection of Forest Lane and U.S. Highway 75. The situation is developing, and we'll have updates throughout the evening. An apparently divided U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments today about Texas election districts that a lower court struck down as discriminating against communities of color. In Austin, KUT's Trey Shah reports.
The case began in 2011 involving U.S. House and Texas House districts in 4 counties. They include the district represented by Lloyd Doggett, which includes part of Austin, and the district that had been represented by Blake Farenthold before he resigned this month. That one stretches from the South Texas coast into Bastrop County. During today's oral arguments, the liberal justices appeared favorable to minority voters and the civil rights groups that filed suit challenging the districts as diluting minority voting strength. Conservatives on the high court seem to lean in favor of the state of Texas, which is defending the district lines drawn by state lawmakers. Potential swing Justice Anthony Kennedy said nothing today to indicate his views. Last year, the Supreme Court kept the districts as they are for the primary elections in March of this year. A ruling is expected this summer.
That was KUT's Trey Shah. Women who cross the border from Mexico into the United States may bring their children or give birth to children in the U.S. Gretchen Kuhner says many of these women need legal advice on both sides of the border. She co-founded a binational legal clinic called the Institute for Women in Migration. She talked with David Brown, host of Texas Standard.
Lots of times parents who have been undocumented in the United States are so afraid. They're afraid that they've done something wrong. They're afraid that they can't bring their children back to Mexico because they think that since they were born in the U.S., if they take them back to Mexico, they'll lose their American nationality, which is not the case at all. Mm-hmm. We also have parents who are afraid to take their children to the U.S. Embassy because they can get a U.S. passport. Lots of times we help families get U.S. passports for their kids because they can travel back and forth and visit family members. And the parents think that if they go into the U.S. Embassy, that they could be arrested or detained, even though they're back in Mexico. Another thing that people worry about is being able to apply for education or apply for health services because they think that because their children are American that they're not allowed to have access to services in Mexico. So we spend lots of times educating families, binational families, about these issues.
I was going to say, it sounds like a lot of your work would basically be undoing a lot of the misapprehensions that people have on both sides of the border.
Absolutely. A lot to do with this kind of criminalization of immigrants in general and then how people feel once they've been deported or if they've decided to return. They don't understand maybe what their rights are back in their country of origin, and they don't understand very well what their children's rights are, that their children actually have all of these, you know, rights. They can live in either country, they can go to school in either country, they can have scholarships, they can work in either country, have 2 passports. And mm-hmm. So actually there's all of these benefits that people don't realize that they can take advantage of.
That was Gretchen Kuhner with the Institute for Women in Migration, talking with Texas Standard's David Brown. When a person is diagnosed with a chronic disease, their friends and family also suffer. Mira T. Lee explores this idea in her debut novel, which chronicles the lives of 2 sisters. Miranda is the older, dependable one, and Lucia is the free spirit struggling with a mental illness. Today on Think, Lee talked with guest host Courtney Collins about why she chose to explore mental illness through a sibling relationship.
It is really interesting because I think the sibling dynamic is unique in that it's not clear what our responsibilities are to our siblings. I think with a parent-child relationship, you know that the parent is supposed to be responsible. Even when the child is an adult, you know, the child was brought into the world by the parent. And so it's clearer what those roles are. But when you have siblings and one is kind of doing better than the other, it's very unclear, you know, is that sibling supposed to take care of the other one, or are they really peers and they have to just let each other be? And of course, you don't choose your siblings, and so you may be best friends with your siblings, but then again, you may not have that connection at all. And so it makes for a lot of tension and a lot of conflict that I was interested in exploring. And so Miranda, while she does love her sister, also develops, you know, a lot of feelings of resentment and, you know, having to kind of clean up after her sister a lot of times. And so that, I think that makes for good conflict and good storytelling.
Mira Tilly's new novel is called Everything Here is Beautiful. This episode of Think Rare is tonight at 10, and you could subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project examines life on the financial edge. Today, a look at how technology and the auto industry intersect and how that translates to jobs. New research shows that even basic digital skills bump earning potential by about 17%. And since the auto industry is moving in a digital direction, there are a lot of good-paying jobs to be found there. As Courtney Collins reports, a few hundred Dallas high schoolers just got an up-close look.
When you think about the auto industry, what do you picture? Assembly lines, showroom floors, and maybe a pushy sales team? Think servers, artificial intelligence, and the online marketplace instead. The game is changing, and Capital One wants students in North Texas to know that.
We're going to walk up to the vehicle, and it doesn't matter what angle that we're at, but we can get the car within the brackets and hit our scan button.
This augmented reality demo lets students use a cell phone to scan miniature model cars. In this case, a 2018 Jaguar F-Type. Software engineer Jeffrey Dagley explains how it works.
We send that information to Auto Navigator, the website, and it tells us how many Jaguars are nearby, what I might be able to get as a monthly payment.
The idea behind this technology is one day you might be able to see a car you like parked on the street, scan it with your phone, and get instant info on all its features and what it would take to buy one. Student Daniel Uribe thinks tech and the auto industry make a great match.
Technology is pretty much in all industries nowadays, and the auto industry is actually one of the biggest tech-driven industries out there, with investors investing over $100 billion for research and development a year.
If Daniel sounds like an expert, it's because he had an internship this past summer with Capital One and was on a team of students that came up with the inspiration for this event called Car Case. He's a senior at Kimball High School in Dallas ISD. He's in the Engineering Academy there and will study engineering at Texas A&M this fall. He'll be the first in his family to go to college.
I take it on myself to learn as much as I can so that I can teach my younger brother and sister.
About 200 students attended this Car Case event. The mission? To spark an interest in science and technology and educate high schoolers about career possibilities that might be out there. Students got to try augmented reality, tour the Capital One Innovation Center, and hear from a panel of experts within the auto industry.
We want to show them people in those careers so they can see themselves in those careers.
Monica Shortino is Director of Social Innovations for Capital One. She says the jobs are there. They just need local talent to fill them.
We're hiring software developers, we're hiring product managers, we're looking for great talent in that technology space because that is our growing need and that's kind of where we're headed.
And these jobs pay living wages. Shortino says many positions don't require a four-year degree, just certifications, and even those have solid starting salaries.
I would say entry, a lot of those roles are starting at somewhere between $18 and $20 an hour.
And that appeals to Timothy Chapa, who's a sophomore at Uplift Heights Preparatory in West Dallas.
We're a booming city and a lot of prices are going up. So when you get that career, it's going to really help you in the future financially and physically, and I say it as a low-income person.
That's something he has in common with a lot of Uplift and DISD students. But, he says, exploring a career in technology isn't just about locking down a good salary.
It's not just about the money, but I know that I'm improving the world, and I'm getting paid for my hard work.
Which is why, as he tours Capital One headquarters in Plano, he says he's keeping an open mind. There may be a job out there that's just right for him. A job that, before today, he didn't even know existed. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
Cloudy skies in store for us later tonight. There's a slight chance for storms with a low around 59. Tomorrow, cloudy, 50% chance for showers with high in the lower 70s. At 6:31, this is KERA News.